God is something else. He's just been answering all our prayers, though. Amen. You all noticing that? I mean, these prayers are just getting answered amazingly. Good Lord. So what did we do, saints? Last week we talked about the trouble in the paradise, right? That's what it was. A city in California called Paradise just burned up, right? Is that what happened? And I liken paradise to heaven. And God said the heavens are going to burn up too with a fervent heat. Is that what he said? Hint, hint, hint. Amen. Is that what he said? And then I put a question on the table. Can you take a hint? Amen. Was that the question last week? Listen to me, saints of God. God is hinting to us that his coming is really soon. Please listen to me. His coming is really, really soon. Amen. Hear me on this one, saints of God. If you don't have it together, please get it together quickly. Amen. Get it together today. Matter of fact, do it today. Amen. Because we all see the signs are really clear. Are the signs clear? I mean, I don't think they can get any clearer. Huh? We saw, speaking of clear signs, we saw last week, Jesus asked his disciples the question, right? I told y'all Jesus be asking questions too. He asked his disciples, who do man say that I am? Is that what he did? He asked his disciples, who do man say that he is? And Peter answered Jesus and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Huh? And Jesus told Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. So God directly had revealed who he was to Peter, who Jesus was to Peter. Amen? But this, here's another question I got for y'all. How in the world do you rebuke the Lord thy God? That's the question. And you know he's the Lord. You know Jesus is the Lord. You know who he is. I ain't talking about the unbelievers. I'm talking about believers. Huh? Peter knew God had just showed it to him. And he turned around and rebuked Jesus. How do you do that? Boy, that one baffled me. I mean, the Lord showed us in his word. He said, get behind me, Satan. So Satan was one reason. And then he said, because thou savorest the things of man and not the things of God. That's what he said. So two reasons you can rebuke the Lord thy God. God bless you, Belinda. It is, praise the Lord. God bless you too, James. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So two reasons you'll rebuke the Lord thy God, because of Satan and because you savor man's things and not the things of God. Those two reasons. Because I couldn't get that. How are you going to rebuke Jesus and he just told you the plan? Amen. That's amazing. So again, we all see the clear signs, saints of God. Jesus is returning soon. Amen. So my message and my warning is, if you don't have it together today, please get it together. Amen. Because time is running out. Amen. Amen. Get your house in order. That's what I'm saying. I want to make it plain. Get your house in order. Amen. Amen. And that's my word for the day. Order. God has been dealing with me about order. Amen. And he showed it to me today when I came in this place, because it was just out of order. An alarm blaring. I don't know the code. I mean, it was just out of order. And he wanted to show me how quick order can be restored in him. Don't miss that piece. In him, he can restore the order in your life. Amen. Not in you. Not savoring the things of man. That's not how the order is going to get restored. Begin to savor the things of God, and he'll quickly restore the order in your life. Amen. You know, it's an order, right? To everything. When we come into the house of God, you know, he likes us to enter his gates, how, saints? With thanksgiving, right? And his courtyards with praise. That's the order. He's a judge. He's the great high priest. Amen. He's the judge of judges. Amen. But I'm going to give you this earthly illustration of a heavenly truth. Huh? I'm going to make it plain how we do it and where we got it from. When the judge enters the courtroom, they want order. Amen. When the judge comes into the court, they want order. That's why the bailiff says, order in the court. Huh? Now all the stopping, all the talking stops, all the writing, everything stops. Amen. He calls the court to order. Then he announces, all rise. Huh? I'm talking about a judge down here. this is how they present them. Amen. Then everybody stands up. Amen. Then he announces, honorable judge Jesus is getting ready to come and take the stand. That's what he announces who's coming, the judge's name is coming. Amen. And then he comes, the judge comes in and takes his seat and then say, you all may be seated. And everybody sits down. Is that order? Huh? God wants his house to have that kind of order. Amen. We enter his gates how? Thankful. Lord, thank you. Not fearful. Today I came in here fearful myself. Amen. Alarms going off, all this stuff. And I should have been like, thank you, Jesus. I should just start praising him. That's how you enter the gates. Praising him and thanking him. Amen. He wanted to show me this today. He said, I put this word in you, but I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to demonstrate the power right behind this word I give to you. Amen. Oh, guess what he's showing me? He said, I'm asking the question, how did Peter miss it? Huh? I should be saying, how did I miss it, Lord? Huh? It's order in the house of God, saints. God requires his house to be orderly. Amen. We know things have to be done how? Decent and in order. Amen. And that's not a cliche. Huh? That's truth. You know, people say that's a cliche. You know, you always hear things got to be done decent and in order. That's the truth. Amen. Let me give y'all some order. Let me show you the order, what the order really is. So here we go. God is the head of Jesus. Amen. Jesus is the head of man. Amen. And man is the head of woman. That's the order. Huh? Things have to be done how? Decent and in order. I just gave you the order. Amen. That is the order. Somebody got to read that for me. Where is that? That's in, because somebody turned to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Who ready to go? Elder Vic, read verse 1, 1 through 3. Okay, hold on. Paul is saying, follow me like I follow Christ. Huh? The same way you see me following them, you follow them. That's really what he's saying. Amen. All right, what's next?
Now I praise you, brother, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinance as I deliver them to you.
Okay, he said, keep the ordinances. Remember me in all things and keep the ordinances. Okay, go ahead, man of God. Okay, he said, God is the head of Christ, right? Jesus. Jesus is the head of man, and man is the head of woman. We heard it in the scriptures, right? Amen. Okay, let me continue. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. You all remember what Sister Doris pointed out to me one day. She says, one way to identify how the church is it in order? Is it a church that's in order? Or if it's not in order, is by looking at the pastor's wife. Y'all remember she told me that? Huh? Y'all remember that? And that word that she gave me, it was like I constantly kept hearing it. People was confirming that word and confirming that word and confirming that word. Amen. If the pastor's wife is unruly, if she's running the church, if she's running people out of the church, if she's loud and telling the pastor, her husband, what to do, there's no order there. The church is out of order. Amen. You all hearing me? And it's the same thing in the spirit. See, when an unbeliever comes in to the church, he's an unbeliever. He doesn't believe Jesus Christ is Lord. He doesn't believe that. Amen? Amen. What he does is he looks at God's wife. God's wife is us. Huh? We the bride of Christ. The church is the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. Jesus is coming back for who? His bride, us. Amen. So when the unbeliever comes in, he or she is looking at God's wife and seeing, is it any order? That's how he does it. Amen. Same thing she showed me in the natural is the same thing in the spirit. Amen. And if they see God's people out of order, living like the world, no difference than the world, doing things like the world, they won't abide. An out-of-order church saint stunts the growth of the ministry. The ministry is not going to grow if the church is out of order. And I'm seeing a lot of that going on right now. Satan is attacking the heads, the pastors, amen, and tearing the church up, amen. And these are the last days. It said it's going to be a falling away. Well, it's really going on. People just don't believe. They see the church. Well, I ain't going there. They no different than us. Amen. They should see a different saints. They should see order and a lot of love in us. Amen. Things have to be done decent and in order. Thank you, Lord. Let me show you this. Since they are looking at the wife, let's take a spiritual look at the wife. Y'all want to do that? Let's see what the Bible says about the wife. Y'all want to see that? Y'all want to check that out? Okay, because I want to show it to you. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's take a look at this. 1 Peter chapter 3, we talking about order, right? Is that what we're on today? Order in the court? Amen? Okay. 1 Peter chapter 3, look at verse 1. It says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. That's powerful. So first of all, this scripture right here saying, wives, first thing you got to do is be in subjection to your own husband. Amen. You all hearing me? Wives, your own husband, not somebody else's husband, your husband. The scripture is saying, be in subjection to your own husband. Amen. Then it's saying, if any obey not the word, so your husband is not obeying the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. So here we got your head, but he's not obeying the word. He's doing what he want to do. He's not, who's his head? He's not listening to Jesus, okay? Because it says he's not obeying the word. Jesus is the word. We know that, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Christ, and the Word was Christ, and the Word took on flesh and dwelt among men. The Word that took on flesh is Jesus Christ. Amen? He's not listening to Jesus, ladies. Okay? His head. So you cannot beat him up with the Word. See, many women want to do that. They take and beat him up. Look, God said that you should be doing this. You should be doing. God said that. There's no way you should be acting. God said you can't beat him up with the Word. Why? Because he ain't listening to the Word. It says you have to win them. They also made without the Word, so you can't use that. Be won by the conversation of the wife. Is that what it says? You can't do it. You can't win him to Christ with the Word if he's not listening to the Word. He's not listening to his head. He's not listening to Jesus. Don't bring Jesus to him because he's not listening. Amen? But it says, may be won by the conversation of the wives. So you know what we got to figure out, ladies? What's that conversation? How I'm going to win this man to Christ without Jesus? Oh, Lord have mercy. Y'all with me? Y'all still with me? So we got to know what that conversation really is, right? Y'all want to know that conversation. Because see, your man, you want to get your man in his perfect position. And that's under his head following Christ. Now y'all got something. Huh? Y'all got something going somewhere, making something happen. Amen? That can't be stopped. See, if you can get him in that position, ladies, listening to his head, huh? And then the two of y'all become one. Now some things about to happen. God is involved. Amen? Okay, look at verse 2. Thank you, Jesus. It says, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. So verse 1 says you're going to be won by the conversation. He can be won by the conversation. But verse 2 says, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. So what's a chaste conversation? The man has to behold, see you. This conversation, he has to behold in you. Amen. You know what the chaste conversation is? The man got to see your purity of life, ladies. Huh? Coupled with reverence. Coupled with reverence for his head. All right, that might have went like, whew. I'm going to say it again. I said he has to see your purity of life coupled with how you reverence his head. Because Jesus is not your head. He is his head. But he's going to watch the conversation. Watch how you reverence his head. Oh, y'all want some revelation? I'm going to give you this one. Y'all know God is a jealous God, right? He's a jealous God. Amen. He got upset when Israel went a whoring after other gods. Oh, he didn't like that. Amen. He's a jealous God. Now, we are made in the image of God, in his image and likeness. Amen? We don't like when our wives go talking to other men. Amen? We don't like that. Amen? And that's what you're doing when you're going talking to his head. We're looking at, it's that chase coming. We're looking like, what is she doing? She talking to Jesus. We're getting jealous. She should be reverencing who? Me. But she ain't doing that. She reverencing my head. Oh, y'all be, some ladies I heard say, my husband jealous of my relationship with Christ. And he should be. You out of order. Oh, you say, oh, nah, you going too far, Pastor. Nah, how am I out of order reverencing my God? Huh? Because that's not your head. He's your head. Amen. Oh, you say, you got to show that one to me in the scriptures. Okay. I'm going to show it to you. Amen. But I'm going to say this to you. That sword is double-edged. It's a double-edged sword, right? So when you're reverencing his head, Amen. And that chase conversation is drawing him. Amen. That's because that's how I say he's going to be one, right? With a chase conversation coupled with fear. Fear is reverence for God, respect for God. I'm in awe of God. That's what the fear is. Amen. Not I'm afraid, like Archie said today. Oh, you in that other kind of fear. You operating in the wrong fear. And I was. Amen. I should have been reverencing God when that alarm went off. Praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah to you. That's the correct fear. Amen. All right. Continue. Stay with me, ladies. Stay with me because I just told y'all something really powerful. I got to prove that, right? Stay with me. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord said, give it to him in the natural. Okay, let me give it to you in the natural. Here you go. Earthly illustration of a heavenly truth. Okay, so you in the clothing store, the really nice one, right? Ladies, and you come back in there and you returning an item that you don't like. It didn't fit right. The color is not right, whatever, right? And so the clerk is saying, nope, I'm not going to take this back. I'm not going to take this item back. And you say, what you mean you're not going to take it back? The store policy says that, I can return this within 7 days. And the clerk say, nope, I'm not going to take this item back because you wore it. You know, I'm not taking it back. You wore the item. I'm not going to give you your money back. And you stand there for a little while. Wait now. I could bring this back according to your store policy because it says 7 days. And you say, and they say, nope, I'm not taking it back. What you gonna do, ladies? What you gonna do? Amen. You going to the supervisor. Get me the manager. Amen. Is that what you do? You gotta get the manager here. And the manager come down, and the manager say, ma'am, I'm so sorry. You know, my clerk didn't give you your money back. Certainly we're going to give you your money back. You know, that's our store policy to give you your money back. Here's your money back. And then the manager take the clerk in and back. Look, the customer is always right. Don't you see the policy? The policy is if they come in here and they bring something back, you give them their money back. And they might even give them some time off if they keep that kind of behavior up. That's the same thing when your husband is not listening. Amen. You win him by going around him to his manager. That's how you win him. You can't win him. You can have all them conversations. The chase conversation is with God. Amen. You done talking to him. He ain't listening. You can't keep beating him up with the word of God. Amen. The chase conversation you got to have, ladies, is with the manager. That's who you got to talk to. Amen. Huh? He not acting right, Sister Teresa. I keep telling him he ain't getting it. I tell him over and over. That's the problem. I tell him over and over he ain't getting it. Father, look, Lord Jesus, my husband is not getting it. And I need you, based on this word, this is your, you said it, Lord. And watch what happened. He gonna do what the store manager do. Okay, Elder Archie, I've seen it happen. Amen. Man coming. Well, you know what God told me. See, when God tell him, though, it's a difference than when you tell him. Why? Because that's his head. See, the order, God is the head of Jesus, and Jesus is the head of man. Amen. Praise God. That's how I got one, quiet as it's kept. Did y'all hear me? I said, that's how I got one. Amen. All right, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to give it to you. So I had made a vow to God a few weeks before my son passed. Y'all all know about that. Lord, I'm going to do whatever you tell me to do, and I'm going to say whatever you tell me to say. I belong to you. I'm committed to you. I'm going to give you my whole heart. I'm done playing with you. Anything you tell me to do, that's what I'm going to do. And anything you tell me to say, that's what I'm going to say. And I lived up to that. Amen. Z was going to church on Sunday. She found Pastor Bryant, say, hey, I like this church. I'm going. I say, cool. She say, a couple of weeks she went. You know what Sunday was for me, right? Y'all know, y'all already know. Sunday is the perfect golf day for me. Sunday morning, places. Phew, you know. And Zeke, she just kept inviting me. Hey, why don't you come? Why don't you check it out? And my attitude was, I ain't going with y'all hypocrites. I'm playing with God. I made a vow to God. I see him every day. I don't just go Sunday and then come out and walk away. And I ain't doing that. She said, okay. It just kept going. But then, see, I took that to my head. I took that to him. Lord, I'm in him. Now, you know we have this great relationship. You know I'm committed to you. I'm married to you. We consummated this wedding. I ain't cheating on you. I love you. Now, do you need me to go up in there with them folks? They don't feel like that about you. They live any old kind of way. I see all that mess going on in the church all the time. Do I need to be going there? That's why I brought it to the Lord. My head. Amen. And y'all think he said, yep, you need to be going. You need to go with your wife, blah. But that ain't what he said. He said this to me, and I'll never forget it. He said, you kept your vow. You're keeping your vow with me. You do love me. We meet every morning, just on schedule, on time. You really love me. He said, but what about your wife, and what about your children? When he said that, I'm in that prayer, right? I said, Lord, I cannot lose another wife. I can't do that again, Lord. I can't go through that one again. And I can't lose another child. I can't go through that again, Lord. I'm going to go with them. Best decision I ever made. Amen. How did she win me? Huh? She didn't beat me up with the word. You a man of God. I see you praying all the time. I see you praying. I see what you do. I see how you protect us. I know you will lay your life down for me. You should be going to church with me. She could have easily said that. You need to be going to church with me, man of God. She could have told me that. But she just kept going. Chase conversation. She just kept going. Amen. And I'm sure she probably was talking to God. Lord, you better talk to your son. Huh? He should be coming with us. I know he should be coming to church. I know she was talking to God. Amen. She won me with a chaste conversation coupled with fear. I saw her going, what you mean this man, Pastor Bryant? Who is he? You know, oh, I like Pastor Bryant. Pastor Bryant, this pastor. What you mean, Pastor Bryant? I'm the pastor. Huh, this is my house. Oh, no, Pastor Bryant, he all this and that. And you know what Pastor Bryant was saying? Oh, Lord, let me tell y'all this. When I came to that church, Pastor Bryant said, I couldn't wait to meet you, man of God. He said, your wife was bragging on you. Listen to this. I ain't even going to church with her. She in there telling Pastor Bryant, dumping on me now. Oh, yeah, how's he all this and that? He ain't in here. He ain't going to church on Sunday. How's your man who you say he is? She said, oh, no. My man blown it. God, my man, I ain't never seen nothing like him. My Pastor Bryant told me this. Your wife was bragging on you when she came up in here. I don't know why you was out there playing golf. That's what he was telling her. Amen. Oh, y'all got to listen. Ladies, y'all better catch this revelation. You win them with a chaste conversation coupled with fear. That's how you get them. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Look here, let's go to verse 3. It says in verse 3, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel. See, that's the trick right there, ladies. I'm going to win them with my pretty hair, my pretty jewelry, and my pretty clothes. That's how I'm going to get them. That's not so. It's telling, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning. Don't let it do that. That's not how you win them. Amen. It's the chase conversation coupled with fear. That's how you win them. Amen? Look at verse 4. But let it be the hidden man, where, saints? Of the heart. Who is that? In that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, what? Of great price. That's what she got. A meek and quiet. Y'all see her just sitting up here not saying nothing? When she get ready to talk, we all be like, what? Come on. I be trying to hurry up. You say you're going to give a testimony? Yeah. A meek and quiet spirit. And that hidden man in the heart. That's how you get them, ladies. Amen. That chase conversation. Who's the conversation with? The Lord. Your conversation is with the Lord. He ain't listening to the Lord. He ain't listening to God. Amen. If any obey not the word, he's not obeying that. Amen. Look at verse 5. It says, for after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. See, it said in the old time, ladies, that's how they did it. Amen. Is that what it says? It says, after this manner, I just explained to y'all, the holy woman who trusted in God adorned themselves. They had that meek and quiet spirit and that hidden man in the heart. And they were subject to their own husbands. I got to tell you this, ladies, because it's real important. Because the devil is a liar, right? And I said that we're getting close. So you all really need to see the real truth of what's really going on. Because right now today, it's this huge women movement going on, right? You know, girl power, woman power, women in power, Me Too, all that craziness. Satan is trying to get the world out of order. Okay? Things have to be done. He's getting the world out of order because he know if I can get it upside down, it will not run. I don't have to do nothing but step back. He's getting the world out of order right now, ladies. Amen. So I have to warn you this because it's not that much more time. Amen. This female pride. Amen. Women take over. Thank you, Jesus. Look at verse 6. It says, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him, what? No, you call Jesus Lord, ladies. Okay, let me read it again. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Sarah was calling Abraham Lord. Did y'all hear that? She had it right. Lord, blah, blah, blah. She calling her man Lord. Why? Because he is her head. Amen. Now, if the head get out of order, now you, what do? You go around and speak to his head. Amen. Sister Belinda back there smiling, James. She got something for you. Amen. She back there. I can hear her heart speaking. Oh, I'm so glad I came to see Pastor Rudy today. Oh, Lord, I'm so glad I got up out this way. I hear a heart talking, James. Get it together fast. Amen. Don't play no more. Oh, it's a serious thing. This is serious business. Look at verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. You all hear that, saints? Man of God. See, it was Eve that was deceived, man of God. It wasn't Adam. Huh? She's the weaker vessel. Huh? So you have to dwell with her. You got to dwell with her according to knowledge. You got to know that and give her honor. She can't do it like you do it. Okay, I got to say that one again. Show your wife cannot do the things you do. Huh? You the strong man. Amen. She can. So when she mess up, when she do this silly thing, when she, you got to honor her. You got to lift her up. Amen. You the strong man. You got to dwell with her according to knowledge. Well, what's the knowledge, Lord? That she's the weaker vessel. Please know that. Huh? She can't do it like you do it. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. He's saying, dwell with her according to knowledge. Look at verse 8. Finally, be you all of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courtesy. See, that's decent and in order, saints. Like-minded on one accord. That's what you want, ladies. You want your husband to be like-minded on one accord with you. And you are, when you're reverencing him, you're reverencing God. Because that God, Jesus is his head. Amen? That reverence, when you reverencing him, you say, well, I can't go directly to him. If he get out of line, you do. Amen? But if you reverence him, amen. And I used to tell brothers this, and I still say this. The reason your wife don't submit to you as her head is because you're not submitting to your head. If you submit to your head, she will submit to you. Amen. And we see a lot of that going on right now. Well, my wife, she don't do nothing I tell her to do. I tell her to do something, she don't do it. And then she see you're not doing nothing Jesus is telling you to do. Amen. And you know how she know? Say, how she know I ain't doing what Jesus is telling her to do? Because he don't tell just her, just you. He tell you and her. He come to your wife, look here. I told Archie, well, I'm using you, Archie. I told Archie, blah, blah, blah. He whispered, but the Lord is talking to Teresa. I told Archie so and so, so and so. And then she looking at you. She know what the Lord told you because the two are one. He's talking to both of you all. So she know what the Lord told you already. And then she see you doing just the opposite. I know God told him that because he told me. I know God told him. And then she just keeps seeing you doing just the opposite. Amen. They know. Huh? The two are one. Oh, thank you, Jesus. It's be one-minded. Do you hear me? Having compassion for one another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Amen. It's one big, come on, happy family. That's what it is. Look at verse 9. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. We're blessed to do what, saints? Be a blessing. What makes us different in Christ is what, saints? We don't take vengeance on those who abuse us. We don't take vengeance. Whose is vengeance is whose? Vengeance is the Lord's. Amen. Look at verse 10. For we that will love life and see good days, who is that? Huh? I want to love life and see good days. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Saints of God, we want rich joy, don't we? Fullness of life. Is that what we want? So we maintain a humble, loving attitude toward everyone. Pure and honest speech. That's what this scripture is saying. Look at verse 11. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. See, that's the problem. God is against you when you're doing evil. Amen. You're going to lose that fight. I'm telling you right now. Work with him. Amen. And who is he that will harm you if ye be believers of that which is good? See, Satan wants to harm us, saints, because we follow Christ. Amen. But he can't. You know, without God's permission, ain't nothing he can do with us. Amen. Nothing. Amen. We saw that with Job. Satan came up to have, look, can I touch Job's body? Can I? And God said, go ahead. You know, I'm going to prove to you fool once and for all that he ain't going to curse me. That's what he was doing. Amen. But God is done with those kinds of things. He's using us mightily for his glory to get his people to trust him. Amen. That's what he's doing. Look at verse 14. But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, what does it say do? Be happy. If you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. That's something else right there. Adversity is for righteousness' sake, saints of God. He's saying, don't be afraid. You'll win the battle. Amen. I'm battling right now. Amen. And it's telling me, don't be afraid, neither be troubled. Don't be afraid of them. Amen. If you suffer for righteousness' sake, that's what it's saying. Don't be afraid. Be happy. So guess what? I'm happy. If y'all could have saw the way I praise God the other day, I'm trying to tell you. I'm happy about this battle that I'm in. Amen. It's crazy, man. How can you be happy in a battle? I'm battling like crazy, and I'm just as happy. Amen. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Let me read that one again. But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, for righteousness, I didn't do anything wrong. I'm suffering for what? Righteousness. I didn't do it. Amen. But I'm suffering for righteousness' sake. It says if you do that, happy are ye. Praise God. And be not afraid of their terror. He's telling me, don't be scared of them. What they gonna do to you? Oh, Lord. I needed to read this one again. Amen. Look what verse 15 says. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks of you a reason of the hope that is in you. How, saints? With meekness and fear. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Your heart is the sanctuary for God, saints. He wants us to worship him with our whole heart. Amen. Out of your heart flows the issues of life. We should be ready to witness what the Lord has done in our lives. That's what it's saying. Amen. Having a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. We got good conversation too. It's like he tell our wives with chaste conversation. He's telling us to have a good conversation too. Amen. It's saying what? It will make sinners and evildoers feel guilty. Ooh, they feeling guilty. In the battle I'm in, they feeling guilty. Why? Because my good conversation in Christ. Amen. I'm not cursing them. Amen. As a matter of fact, I'm asking God to bless them. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Thank you, Jesus. For it is better if the will of God be so that ye suffer for well-doing than what, saints? For evil-doing. I'm suffering for well-doing. How good is that? Amen. I'm not suffering. I didn't do anything wrong. I'm suffering for well-doing. And he said, it's better if you do that. For Christ also have once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Jesus Christ suffered for a great cause, to bring us to God. Amen. Many people we talk to, saints, are in bondage. Amen. Look what verse 19 says. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Jesus went to preach to spirits in prison or in bondage, right? In bondage to what? They're in bondage to sin. That's what it's saying. That's what he wants us to do. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Many people we talk to, saints, are in bondage. They're in sin. And what do we speak to them? Christ crucified. Amen. A lifestyle in your flesh. Let me make this powerful statement. A lifestyle in your flesh, living in your flesh, will keep you in bondage. Amen. Please know that. If you choose to live a life in your flesh, you're going to be in bondage. Amen. It's freedom in the spirit. It's liberty in the spirit. Amen. Your flesh has no liberty. Amen. It has laws that it can't keep. Amen. Look at verse 20. which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. Only eight souls were saved by water, saints. It was Noah and his wife, two, his three sons, five, and their three wives, eight. That's all that was saved back in the days of Noah. Was there nobody listening? Huh? They looking at Noah build a boat. Look, it's about to be over. Like I'm telling you today, please listen. It's about to be over. Amen? Please listen. Get in the ark. What's the ark, man of God? Jesus is the ark, okay? Get in them. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Look at verse 21. The like figure whereunto even baptism doeth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. See? Oh, that's powerful. You know what it's saying? Some people believe, and this is for somebody in here today too, the Lord is saying, they got baptized, they're going to be saved. I was baptized. That's what it's saying. I'm not going to put away. I got baptized. I'm going to keep living like I'm living. That saved me. That's not true. Water baptism just shows a good conscience toward God. That's what the scripture is saying. Water baptism, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. That's what the water baptism shows. I got baptized in the water, so I really want to serve God now. I want to serve him. That's what it's just showing that, right? But that has to be followed up with what? Some action. Amen? That's just not going to do it. What does it have to be? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what's going to save you. Amen? Who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Jesus has how much power, saints? All the power. And he loves order. Amen? Wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Amen? Men of God, submit to your head. Who's your head? Jesus. I showed the woman how to win her husband to Christ. Is that what I showed you, ladies? Now I want to show the men who we are in Christ. Kings and priests. Amen? Y'all good with that, men? Ladies, y'all mad if I show these men something? I just showed y'all, really, how to handle them. Amen? Your husbands. Amen? But now I want to show your husbands who they are. Y'all good with it? Let me see what time it is. Oh, Lord, I don't know. Is this a two-parter? I'm going to do a little bit. Let me see what I could do in this length of time. Turn in your Bible to 1 Timothy. This might have to be a cliffhanger right here. God bless you. Praise the Lord. This might have to be a cliffhanger right here. But I'm going to show. I showed the ladies how to win her husband to Christ. Amen. Now I want to show the men who we are in Christ. You all at 1 Timothy chapter 3. Look at verse 1. It says, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. You all hear me, brothers? It says, if you desire the office of a bishop, you desire a good work. Amen? Things have to be done decent and in order, correct? So we're going to look at the order. A bishop is like a pastor, an elder, an overseer. Amen? It's saying, if you desire that office, a leader of the church, that's what it's saying. That's a good work if you desire that. Amen? Look at verse 2. A bishop then must be, come on, blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober of good behavior, given to hospitality and apt to teach. Amen. That's what they say a bishop ought to be, a leader of the church. And many misconstrue that to say, it says a husband and one wife, they think, well, he only could have been married one time, and that's not what it's saying. One wife, you can't have two wives, three wives. Amen. You got to have one wife if you desire this office. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. It says blameless. You know what that means? It's free of wrongdoing. Amen. Unrebukable. Amen. It says the husband of one wife, saints of God. Again, that's one wife at a time. And if you divorce, God, it takes time. You can't divorce your wife. Now, that's a split. That's bad. Amen. And then come before God's church. God has to restore you, heal you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Takes time. Amen. He has to repair you. And I'm just, my whole life is flashing in front of me. How he got me here. Set me down under Pastor Bryant for 7 years. Amen. Just sitting there. And he's a hard man. Amen. You sit there, you hear some stuff, you be like, wow. What? Let me go home and study. He kept me studying his word. Amen. 7 years. At my son's funeral, when God started the whole process, he had me call up every one of them wives I married and apologize to them. Amen. In front of about, how many people was there, Elani? 400. 400 people. Huh? That's how, you just can't, I'm going to lead your church. No, he prepares you to do that. Amen. Which I didn't know that's what his plan was for me, honestly. Because, you know, if I knew, I probably would have ran like Jonah. You know, I didn't know. I just had made him that vow. I was trying to keep it. Amen. That's really what happened. But yeah, he prepared me. Oh, you're going to call them all up here. Do what? What did I, you just told me a couple of weeks you're going to do whatever I tell you to do. That's what I want you to do. Lord, there's 400 people in the place. Call them women up here right now and apologize to them. Yes, Lord, not my will, Lord. It's not my will. It's not what I want to do. Nevertheless, and I called them up there and I heard these pastors behind me. They was going crazy. What in the world is he? High in the world, and they just came up in order. The kids was like, Daddy, did you see? It was just a miracle. It was a miraculous. God was having his way, and he continues to do that. Well, I just be like, Lord, how do you do that? But you know what we got to do? Serious, listen to me, bishops, men of God, we got to be obedient. Amen. If he tell you to do something, please do it. Amen. Look what happened. Go to church. Go to church with your. Go to church. I don't want to go, but nevertheless, I'm going to go because I don't want to lose another wife. I don't want to lose another child. I'm going. Amen. Please do it. Oh, Lord, I just can't emphasize that enough. It says be vigilant. Amen. Vigilant. A vigilant man is disciplined. You all hear me? Men of God knows how to properly order his priorities. Amen. And is serious about spiritual matters. Faithful. Amen. Oh, that's why he set me under Pastor Bryant. Pastor Bryant is serious about spiritual matters. I had never seen faithfulness like that. I never saw it. I was sloppy with God. Amen. I really was until I saw him. I said, I want that kind of relationship. Oh, I thought I was tight. I'm at home meeting you at 4 o'clock. This man on time for every service. This man ready to go. This man got scripture ready. This man, I said, I'm going to be like that. That's what I want to do. That's how I want to serve you. Oh, I want to be the apple of your eye. See, God is a jealous guy. I want to be the apple. I want to be the one. I want to serve you. Oh, it's a pleasure to serve you, Lord. Then he began to release revelation, things that I just couldn't see. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Vigilant, amen, sober. The Greek word for that, it means wineless, huh? Alert, sober, saints, alert, watchful, or clear-headed. Elders must be able to think clearly. Amen. Y'all hear me, bishops? Of good behavior. It means orderly. You gotta lead non-chaotic lives. See, if you can't keep your life in order, saints, how are you gonna bring order to God's church? Huh? It's gotta be stress-free, drama-free life. Amen. If you into all this drama all the time, you are still in your flesh. Flesh love drama. Amen. Please hear me. I'm showing you bishops God's order right now. Things have to be done decent and in order. Amen. It says given to hospitality. Huh? That's love of strangers. See, you can't live a reclusive, hidden life. Amen. And lead the people. Your life, saints, your home life has to be an open book. See, they need to see your spiritual walk. Amen. Your spiritual character. They need to see it. Amen. And it says apt to teach. Apt to teach, that relates to your gifts and your spiritual ability. And that's a distinction between an elder and a deacon. See, the preaching and teaching of God's word as an overseer or pastor or elder is your primary duty. Rightly dividing the word of truth, saints, the gospel. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Look at verse 3. It says, not given to wine. There we go again. No striker, not greedy or filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler. Not covetous. Amen. I just want to go through these real quickly. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Not given to wine. What is he saying? The same thing again, right? Staying sober. You cannot build a reputation of a drinker and lead God's people, men of God. Amen. You want to be clear mind. You are, where's the battle at? The battle is right here. Amen. The battle is in the mind. You want your mind to be clear. That's why Satan wants to fog every, he wants the number one thing he wants to do is get you out of your mind so he can control your mind. Amen. He don't want you in your own mind where you can think clearly. Amen. The battle is in the mind, man of God. You're leading God's people to holiness. Amen. It says no striker. Amen. A brawler. It means not to physically be violent. Literally not a giver of blows. See, elders, we have to react to different situations calmly and gently. That's how we have to lead God's people. Amen. Things got to be done decent in order, saints. I'm giving you the order of the house of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It says, not greedy of filthy lucre. Bishops, listen, you cannot love money. Amen. That cannot be your motive to lead God's people. Amen. The love of money is the root of all evil. The money is not evil. It's when you love it. Amen. The love of money will lead you to dishonest gain, men of God. Our main priority is not acquiring money. Huh? Materialism is not befitting one that's called of God. If you see a man that's called of God, he is not materialistic. Amen. Now, you see a lot of hirelings, and I'm going to break that down real quick. Well, the church hired, I'm going to bring you in and hire you, and you're going to come in and you're going to preach the word and blah. That's a hireling. I'm talking about when God called and said, hey, I'm going to put you before my people. Amen. They're not on that. Our main priority, saints of God, is the care of and the spiritual welfare of souls. Amen. See, a leader that in ministry who who loves money, he reveals his heart, and his heart is set on the world. He's still on the world things. He's not the things of God. Amen. An elder must be motivated by the love of God, God and his people. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. I want to go further on this, but we're at noon, saints. We're gonna do this in two parts. You all good with that? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for your word today. Thank you for that demonstration of power you showed today too, Lord. Amen. Thank you for the revelation you gave the ladies and what you imparted to the men right now, Lord, which I will finish, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Father, for grace and mercy and peace and love and joy. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for ordering your house and teaching it to us, Lord.